C# and VB code is compiled these days with the Rosalind Managed Compiler. There's a lot of cool stuff that you can do with Rosalind. Let's mash on that. Hi everybody, and welcome to another episode of the ASP.NET Monsters. In today's episode, we're going to take a look at a Rosalind Analyzer, which is super exciting. So I have here Visual Studio, which you may have seen before at some point in time, especially if you've watched our videos. And I created a brand new Rosalind Analyzer project here, which I can show you what that looks like. So under extensibility here, there are a few different things. When you first start this up, you'll be missing these, but there's another option to do the install. So I started with this analyzer with CodeFix, NuGet plus Vizix, which is a Visual Studio extension. I don't know why extension is spelled with an I. One of the mysteries.
It's the American spelling.
Yeah, so I mean, speaking of American spelling, I then subsequently corrected the spelling of analyzer in most places from a Z to properly have an S.
I knew this was going to come up. I saw this.
They have missed a few places. But you can ignore those for now. So to start with, let me pull up a home controller here. So this is basically the standard home controller that you would have in a file new project. So this is this analyzer web app project here. I just hit file new, and I put in this annotation here to allow anonymous on the home controller. So one of the things that I have been stung by in the past is that I have forgotten to put authorize attributes on controllers. And so I just have like a random controller somewhere in my application that does not have proper authentication on it. So I thought, wouldn't it be cool if Visual Studio would warn me when I screwed up in that way? So I have created an analyzer to do just that. So let me jump over here and I'll walk you guys through creating an analyzer. So this took me a couple of hours, but it's a little bit rudimentary, and I spent most of my time just kind of learning Rosalind syntaxes. So unpin these things here so we have a little bit more real estate here. So this is pretty much the default. The default that comes in the template itself is an analyzer which checks for lowercase identifiers and tells you to make them uppercase, basically. So that is a fairly contrived example, as is this, probably. But we start off with just a couple of localized strings here. So this is just what you'd expect for string localizations. I've got a handy XML file in this resources here that has some titles and strings basically that are used as part of the analyzer. So this is done so that you can have internationalization on your localizers. So if you needed to have it in French or German or whatever other language, you could put in localized resources there. If you're just building one for yourself, for your own team, you might not need to do that. But it came with a template, so I thought I would choose it. So the first thing that we need to do is we need to override the initialize here. So this class here extends diagnostic analyzer. And there are a couple of different ways that you can hook into the diagnostics, and I chose to go with the syntax node action. So you can also do like context.register. So there's a bunch of other different ones that you can do here. I think the default one came with a symbol action, but this is basically tying into the compiler pipeline to say, hey, I would be interested in doing some actions on syntax nodes. And the specific kind that we're interested in is we're interested in class declarations. So one of the great tools that you can use for Rosalind analyzers is this syntax visualizer here that I have open on the left-hand side. So if I jump over to the home controller here, and I click on home controller, then you can see where I am inside of this tree. So if you take a look here, we've got like using directives here. So those are tied to these using directives here, then a namespace declaration. And then you can kind of click through these things and you can see what each of these things are. So this is like keyword, namespace keyword token here. It's this one right here, qualified name. So this is actually like the abstract syntax tree that the compiler generates when it parses through your code. which is why we have this class declaration down here. So that's like the whole class. And I can jump in here and I can see that home controller is actually the identifier token that is associated with this class declaration. And I also have an attribute list up here, which is what ties in this allow anonymous. So jumping back here, I basically said, look, I'm interested in any time that you encounter a class declaration. So if somebody passes in a bunch of different classes, which is what you would get if you were building a project, then this is going to hook into any of those class declarations, be they controllers or not. So the first thing I want to do is I want to filter for things that are controllers. Now, I took a really naive approach here, and I just said any time that the node identifier ends with controller, I'm going to assume it's a controller. Obviously, there's lots of ways that wouldn't happen, but we'll just assume for now that that is the case. So from that, I have this descendant here, but I don't think I use this property anymore. So it's just while I was debugging my way through it. So I have asked for all of the descendant nodes that are part of, that come from this class declaration here. So this is a lambda here that I can use to say whether I want to basically include all the children or not. And in this case, I do want to include the children, and I'm looking for anything that has a kind of an attribute list.
So when you were looking at that controller and we were kind of, you paused to show, demonstrate in the syntax visualizer, the class declaration is the node that we're working with, and that attribute list is one of the kinds, that's the kind that you filtered for in that line of code there in your analyzer.
So if we were to put another declaration in here, let's put an authorize declaration in there too, then if we were to take a look, I lost my class declaration here. So there's now two attribute list in here as part of the descendants of the class declaration. So I'm going to go pull that back off again. I don't know what would happen if you put both of those attributes on. I would hope that the authorized one would take precedence. But anyways, so now I'm looking for any time that there are not any attribute lists. So if there's nothing there at all, then I'll catch this, or if it doesn't contain an authorization attribute. So the authorization attribute is a little health method here. And I'm, because everything is really, it's tree-based, you kind of have to like descend it and check descendants, and it's a little bit of a pain to do in C#. It's not really a language which is well-designed for doing tree parsing. You should try F#. Oh, I should try F#. Good call. Anyway, I'm just descending in here, and I'm looking for anything that has...
I hear it takes a really long time to learn F#, though.
It does, especially if you're not smart like me. Wait, that sentence didn't come out. That sounded not the way I wanted it to sound. If you are not smart in the same way that I am not smart, which is to say all the ways... Anyway, I'm looking for anything that just has allow anonymous or authorize here. So again, I'm being very naive here, and I'm just looking for the names of these tokens. So if you had another namespace that also declared allow anonymous, I would still catch that. So if you're doing any sort of proper stuff here, if we were going to do this more elegantly, then I would be more interested in checking like the actual kind of this allow anonymous to make sure it's the one from... authorization. Yes, this one lives in Microsoft ASP.NET core.authorization. So let's say I had another one that lived in like, you know, Simon.attributes, then I would still catch it as part of this analyzer, which is probably not what we want to do. So again, very, very naive approach here. So in the case where I'm in a controller and either there's no attribute list or the attribute list does not contain the correct attributes, then I'm going to create a diagnostic rule here. And I'm gonna throw a warning, basically. So I have a rule here, and that is just defined up here. So I'm just setting this one to be a warning. You could set it to be an error too. I think there's only two things on this. Also info and hidden. I don't know why you'd want hidden. But we'll go back to warning. And I've given it the identifier, which is just like the name of the class. So that's just going to be inserted into some strings. And I've also given it the location. So the location is what allows Visual Studio and any, or I guess just Rosalyn to give what line number the error is actually on. And then I'm going to report that diagnostic. So let me show you it working first, and then I'll show you some of the unit tests around it, because I think the unit testing around this stuff is pretty cool. So this project will build, and one of the things that it produces is a NuGet package here. So I have all of these NuGet packages because Visual Studio does not clean up well after itself. But there we go, we've created another one there. And this is just a specialized NuGet package. It contains an analyzer and a special subdirectory. So you can't, unfortunately, just include this project in your other project and have the errors show up. You need to include a NuGet package. So if we just look real quickly at the new spec, there's a special part in it, if it ever opens up, right here, where we target stuff into analyzers. So that's where they end up, inside of your NuGet package. Now, if we go and take a look at our error list here, we can see right now there's no errors or warnings on this project. Let's go and make an error or warning. And to do that, we're just going to open up this home controller again. We have it open up here. And I'm going to comment out this allow anonymous here. So now there's no attribute around here anymore. So we should hopefully get a warning about this.
So this warning is going to say you have an undecorated class, so be explicit about allowing anonymous or add an authorized attribute.
Yeah, that's it. So look, we have a warning there in the output. Let's go take a look at our error list here. And we have a slightly longer description than it's allowed for. Controller, home controller is missing explicit authorization annotations. So I'll just double click on that and it takes me to the line. I'll prove that by going to some other random line. Ooh, look at that. So there you go, you've just tied into the compiler and you've managed to add an entire warning. So that's pretty much most of it, but I wanted to show the unit tests because I thought they were kind of cool what you could do with them. So this is just one for note diagnostics for allow anonymous. So I have allow anonymous here. So I basically just create a string here, and there's a bunch of helper methods that come included with this project template. I didn't find any need to go in and play with them too much, but you can just say verify C# diagnostic, and basically this means that it should not have any errors associated with it. If we want something that has a diagnostic message, we can scroll down, diagnostic for no annotation here. So I create this class here, and you can see that it's a controller and it's missing the annotation here. So I would expect there to be some sort of a diagnostic error here. So we build up this expected here and we give it what the message is, what the severity it is, where we expect to see it, and what the ID is of the analyzer that caused it. So this was defined back over in our other project. And then we just say, hey, I would like this diagnostic to show up. And we can just run the test and it'll go off and like compile this piece of code right here, this string, and then check to see if there is indeed an error thrown for it from the diagnostics, which there should be. As soon as this test passes, there we go. So test passed. All looks good.
That's nice and easy. And you said that's just part of the template that was given for you. It looks like you're using MS test, probably.
Yes, I think so. Test method. So obviously I would convert this over to XUnit if I was going to actually use this, but
is the verify C# diagnostic, is that something that's it's oh I see it's pull, you're inheriting from a base class code, right? Fix verifier.
So they have added kind of this bunch of helper stuff in here that I didn't bother reading too much, but basically what it does is it'll go and like do the compilation and then get the diagnostics out of it. And there's also stuff in here for doing code fixes. So that's the next step. Maybe we'll add a code fix at some later date. But code fixes kind of go hand in hand with diagnostics in that you do a diagnostic and it will show you what the problem is, and then there'll be that little like light bulb next to it and it'll tell you what you could do to fix it. So I don't know if we can come up with one just a sample there.
Well, what you could do to fix this one would be to add the annotation, right?
So you
add anonymous or explicitly define authorized truth.
Right. Yeah. So that's pretty much it for writing analyzers. I think there's a lot more depth there, a lot more fun things that you could do with them. That was the first example that I came up with, but it seemed like a pretty good one. I think there could be a lot of potential for this stuff. This was one of the things that I was predicting. Like when Roslyn first came out, I said, this is going to change the way we write code. People are going to write these analyzers for everything, and it's going to be like a whole new world. And that has not materialized in the way that I was expecting it to. Like I was expecting projects like AutoFac and a Mediator and things like that to start throwing in analyzers to pull out stuff that is not maybe like severe enough that you'd want to throw a syntactical warning for it, but hey, you're not using this properly, that sort of thing.
Yeah, it seems like it would be really useful.
Yeah.
I think those like those are open source projects, Sam, and they accept pull requests.
They do indeed. And had I infinite time, I'm sure I would come up with stuff for them. I think I was talking to somebody over at Particular, and they were saying that NService Bus is either shipping with some of these or is going to ship with some of these in their next release.
For NService Bus, right.
Yeah, I'm not sure what stuff they're going to check or warn about, but there's a lot of stuff that it would be nice to have some sort of a syntax checker or a code analyzer built in for it. All right, that's it for me.
Cool. Well, thanks, Simon, and thanks, everyone, for joining us for another episode of the ASP.NET Monsters. Don't forget to like, comment, or share. We have the comment section just down below. And if you ask us some questions, we can send you a handy-dandy ASP.NET Monsters sticker that I'm told makes your laptop somewhat faster.
It's proven.
It is proven indeed.
All right. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks. So we'll see you
next
week.
All. Cheers.
Hopefully, I was recording that.